The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. I welcome you to another broadcast of The Birth of Women here on AM360. We will be discussing love, life, learning, and of course, how this beautiful deen can be healthy and happy to you and yours. Okay, brothers, you know what to do. Grab that remote and head to the other room. It's our time now. This is Dr. Amina Ali, your host for another dynamic show. Are you ready, ladies? Let's go.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, brothers and sisters, because I know some of the brothers are still here. It's time for The Birth of Women here on AM360. I am Dr. Amina Ali, your host. Welcome to another dynamic show. Are you ready? Tonight, we are going to be talking about something that is near and dear to us. It is the eve of Ramadan, inshallah. If the sightings are right, we will be fasting in the morning. So this is the eve of goodness. Because we're going to start off Ramadan strong. So let's get ready for Ramadan, our month-long intention here on April of this year. We have been scripting a month-long intention, and tonight is no different. We're going to be talking about the fitna of friends. Uh-oh. This is entitled, Where's the Beef? We're going to be quashing some beef so we can go into this real strong. But, of course, we got to start at the beginning, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alameen, Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawm iddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladheena an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. Alhamdulillah. 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 Okay, sisters, look. We're going to get on this topic, and we're going to get on it for one last time, because I'm praying that when Shaitan is locked up in a few hours, actually in a few minutes, because it's almost sundown. I don't know where you are, so it's almost sundown here. So my group will be coming in a minute. And I am trying to get ready for this blessing. We've been in this COVID-19 a little too long, and we have been stuck in this muck, but we don't have to be surrendering to our circumstance. We are still Muslims in this. We are still able and viable, responsible servants of Allah. So we're going to grant that leadership in that servitude of being responsible. And we are going to take to ending this fitna once and for all. All right. So we're going to be talking about the fitna of friends. Where's the beef? We're going to be talking about intimate friendships tonight. And yes, I'm going to be stepping on people's toes because I'm going to be talking about you. And because I can't see you and you can't see me doesn't mean you don't get that guilt in your soul when I say something that you know is true. Now, I'm not here to be perfect and point out everything that's wrong with you. But if something can change, be fixed, edited, or altered throughout this month of Ramadan, let it be. Let somebody be the catalyst. As Muslims, we are reminders. So let that be the catalyst of change. Talking about intimate friendships, we have to talk about what defines our friendships. So we're going to read from Surah 3, ayat 116 to 120. And we're going to read this because it explains Islamically who our friends should be. And then I want you to take a deeper look as to the people you call friends. And then see if they subscribe to this, inshallah. O believers, do not make intimate friendships with any but your own people. The unbelievers will not miss any opportunity to corrupt you. They desire nothing but your destruction. Their malice has become evident from what they say, and what they conceal in their hearts is far worse. We have made our revelations plain to you if you want to comprehend. Whereas you love them, they do not love you, even though you believe in their books, the Psalms, the Torah, and the Gospels. When you meet them, and when they meet you, they say, "We are also believers in your prophet and the Quran." But when they are alone, they bite their fingertips in rage against you. Say to them, "May you perish in your rage. Surely Allah knows all the secrets of the heart." When you are blessed with good fortune, they grieve. But if some misfortune overtakes you, they rejoice. If you are patient and guard yourselves against evil, their schemes will not harm you in any way. Surely Allah encompasses all their actions. That was 3:116 to 120. So what does that mean? What does that mean, sisters? Now, we're talking about believers. Now, let's break this believers down, because there are Muslims and then there are believers. I'm going to hurt somebody on this one, because we got some sisters in our circle that they just doing something in the realm of Islam, but they are not true believers. We know that. We see what they are and we see what they do. They backbite. They discern what is right and true, make up stuff. They add stuff, take away stuff, believe what they want to believe, act on what they feel is in accordance to what makes them comfortable. You know the folk. Maybe you were that folk one day. Maybe you had to rise out of feeling like you could smoke weed and smoke cigarettes and hit the club on Saturday night, but you made it to Juma on Friday. Now you're saying, I mean, wait a minute, hold on. Those are actions. How are you going to say the person is not a believer and they're doing those actions? Maybe they're weak. Maybe they're weak-minded. Well, that's where this topic comes in, because you are their friend. And regardless of what it is that we do and how we do it, regardless of what it is that they may want to make excuses for, you are their friend. You are a believer. You are someone that is in the realm of knowing right from wrong and a little bit stronger than they are, unless you partake in wisdom. You are a little bit stronger than what they are capable of doing, and your discipline is what's going to be called to the rug. Now, remember, Allah makes Muslims. So like I explained last week, we're like the Marines, the few, the proud. Everybody is not going to be called to do this. So when you are called, you automatically are a leader. That's why Allah says we're reminders of each other, because he precipitates that leadership in our daily actions. Remember, Islam is not a noun. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. So that means if you're doing this every day, you are building this resistance to the dunya. You are building this resistance to the things that you know to be true and right, and doing them each and every day. Intimate friendship should be with believers. The invite in what it is that believers have is a true resonation with what it is that piety and modesty define. What do they mean about piety and modesty and how that defines it? Well, if you are a friend, and as Islam will dictate it, if you are a reminder, then your piety is your cloak. That is the thing that you wear. That is the thing that you garner. And your modesty is in your tongue. Your modesty is in how you orate. Are you loud and verbose? Are you trying to be seen and need accolades? Or are you whispering these reminders to your brothers and sisters? Are you letting them know that these are the things that they need to bring forward, but they need to do it a little less egoic? Are you tapping them on the shoulder and reminding them what ego looks like, whether they want to hear it or not? You got to keep tapping them. Sis, you don't need to do it like that. I know Allah says that you're allowed to wear kohl on your eyes and henna on your hands, but all that blue on your cheeks? Yeah, sis, really? Really? What are you trying to, you're causing attention to yourself, and that's something Allah says that you're not supposed to do. But do you need to say that in the middle of the ranks of Salah right before we get ready to pray? Or do we talk about that the next time we speak to that sister, or we on FaceTime and we see her doing that, and it's just her and I? We cause more fitna within each other by not being scrupulous and honest. Uh-oh, I talked about a word that I got to define. What's the difference between being truthful and being honest? Now, my grandmother drilled this into me for years, and a lot of what she said had to deal with how I handled certain situations I got myself into. She used to say, water's wet, sky is blue. She also used to bring back into fruition things that you don't need to know. You know, you stand in a house that has 80-degree heat, you're going to get warm. But you don't need to orate those things. You don't need to say these things. It's evident. It's true. So that's telling the truth. But being honest is, yeah, it's hot in here, but guess what? I was a little chilly, so it's actually feeling really good. So the honesty is in the integrity of why you're feeling a certain way or why you're doing a certain thing. Yes, Nana, I did break the vase. That's telling the truth. But being honest is, it was because I was careless. So it's almost extending what it is that you did, telling the truth in what you did, and extending it to the reason why. Allah rewards and punishes based on intention. And if we have great intention with our friends, those we call sahaba, the sahabat, these are the people that we are going to have great intention with. So I'm not going to just tell you, sis, I need to tap you on the shoulder to tell you what you're doing or what you could do better or micromanaging you. No, I'm telling you that because that could be the last law you make for Allah. It could be the last law you make in this life. Why would I hinder you from getting the greater blessings from it? Why would I be the reason why you lose the barakas, lose the reward, and lose the ability to be in the greater place with Allah? Why? Because when I die, guess whose deeds may be handed over to you for not correcting it? Now, I'm trying to get the same place you are, so I'm not really trying to give away too many of these deeds, although it may happen. And if I don't ask for forgiveness, which is why we're talking about this the night before or a few minutes before Ramadan comes in, if you're not intentional with what you're doing, it is going to appear as though you are passive or even worse, condoning it. Our friendships are designed, and here's my notes. Our friendships are designed to reflect who we are around and what our circle represents. You cannot follow disobedience and allow the piety, the modesty, and the ihsan in what you do to be seen. Ways in which you offer the greatest goodness of who you are will be in the company you keep. One of the stories that one of my elders used to tell me, and she said, if you can show me five people that you hang around, I can tell you who you are. She used to always say that, and I used to always wonder why she was always asking who my friends are. She wanted to know who I was now. Who I was becoming. I didn't realize that, of course, when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. I didn't realize the power of the elder wisdom. And, of course, I really didn't care. I was just trying to be popular and known and recognized and seen. As an only child, it's kind of hard to do all that in a house full of elders. But in my peer group, I was trying to be the one that was recognizing who I am. And in being in total honesty, I was trying to be accepted. I didn't know what it was like to have peers around me every day until I went to school, and I love that, especially when they realized that I was the smart kid in the class and they always wanted to hang around me, not realizing they wanted the answers to the test. And that was the real reason why they were hanging around me. They realized my grades were better than theirs, so I was the one to hang out with. But when I realized that I needed that acceptance, is because I didn't know who I was. So that's going to be the next part of what we talk about, learning who you are in your friends. Learning who you are in your friends. Now, we're going to go back to the Quran a little bit. We're going to go back to Surah 3, 149 to 151. Surah 3, Imran, 149 to 151. O believers, if you yield to the unbelievers, they will drag you back to unbelief, and you will become the loser. The fact is that Allah is your protector, and He is the best of all helpers. Soon, we shall cast terror into the hearts of the unbelievers, for they commit shirk with Allah, for which He has revealed no authority. The hellfire shall be their home, and evil is the home of the wrongdoers. Okay, so we don't even need to break that down. That's kind of common sense, even if you weren't a believer. You can read that and understand that whatever it is that we're doing with each other, remember, misery loves company. If whatever it is that we are conjuring up as activities and habits and behaviors, we know that there's always going to be somebody that we can find to subjugate this with. If we want to smoke weed, the dope man's down the street. If we want to drink alcohol, we can find a couple folks on the corner that will probably buy it for you just to keep you in the habit. But what we're needing is people to bring us to the Quran, bring us to the Sunnah, bring us to the rug. You got to be around sisters that are willing to say, sis, yeah, instead of this Zoom call, let's go ahead and pray and come back. Or let's have a Zoom Salah, which is what we're doing in the Atlanta group. We're having Salah at the time that in between the times of Salah, so that everyone can join in, because, you know, it's different here from New York and Atlanta. But in between Asr and Maghrib, we're finding a time that we can all get on the Zoom and pray together. You need sisters to get creative with you like that. We need sisters to go out together. And since we can't be together, how about we all shop at our different stores wherever we are, but we shop together. So on Saturday at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3, we're going to take our phones, we're going to get on a Zoom call, and we're going to go shopping together. We're going to put our phones in the cart, and we're going to walk down the aisle, and we're going to talk to each other about what's on sale. Why? Because that's allowing us to know that at least for 5 minutes, we got other sisters on the line, and they're with us, even though they can't be with us. You got to be around sisters that are that creative in what it is that we need to sustain as the Islamic tenet that we're bringing forth. We got to see, let our children see how creative we can get in making sure that the friendships that we have with other sisters is equally as creative and doable. We got to allow our children to be free thinkers and how they're going to create their Islam so that they can be leaders in this as Muslims, so that we can bring this back to what it is that we're supposed to be. This is going to be the work. We're going to pause for a PSA break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about believers and friends and what's the difference. We're going to dig a little deeper into this thing called friendship and how we portray it as believers, inshallah. You're listening to the Birth of Women here on AM 360. This is Dr. Amina Ali, your host. And we're going to pause for a PSA break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the month-long topic of getting ready for Ramadan and the week topic of fitna of friends. Where is the beef? Here on AM 360, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation.
Ramadan is here.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad, executive producer of Study Al-Islam, here to announce that the Ramadan 2020 series is projected to start the morning of Friday, April 24, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will continue our study on building a model community, and the talk will focus on the Medina Sura. The good news, you can listen by joining am360.org or 701-719-4197. Please purchase your Muslim journal for a complete schedule of the speakers. May this Ramadan be our best effort and outcome. Insha'Allah, your sister and friend, Fitra.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we're back. You're listening to The Birth of Women here on AM 360. I am Amina Ali, your host, And I love that song. Ramadan is here. Okay, if I can sing, I'd be dangerous. But we are going to continue the month-long topic of Let's Get Remedy for Ramadan. And we are talking about the fitna of friends. Where's the beef? And we're talking about how we can orate our friendship during this Ramadan, because this is going to be most important, sisters. We are going to have to be friends this Ramadan with all this COVID-19, this fear, this chaos, this anxiety. We're going to have to bond as sisters. Sometimes the law brings us all the way down, so all we can do is look up. And when we look up, we need to see sturdy, supportive, and appreciative sisters looking down at us, ready to lend a hand to bring us back up. And we're going to talk about different ways that we can do this for this month of Ramadan. I think, it came in already. I guess while we were talking, Maghrib came in. So happy Ramadan for those that are fasting for this morning coming in. And if those are fasting on Friday, Ramadan Mubarak to you. Thank you so very much. For those of us that did not make it this year, inshallah, we make dua for them. And we make dua for their souls so that we will make sure that we are appreciative and grateful in this time of Ramadan. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Well, if you're just joining us, we are talking about the fitna of friends. Where's the beef? And we were talking about intimate friendships and the understanding of what a believer is, and then why it is that we're not to follow the unbelievers. But the unbelievers also come with a mask. Sometimes we are Muslims that said, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammadan Rasulullah, and they still do things that resemble the dunya. Well, I'm one of the ones that say, well, nobody's perfect. I'm pretty sure you still do some things that resemble the dunya. So we can't really be harping on the sisters, but we can be the reminder so that the sister remembers, or maybe she didn't know in the beginning, that this is maybe not a good exercise or another or a better way to do it. But when we talk about this friendship thing, and we talk about this thing that their situation to a friendship, to a frenemy even, I heard that word the other day. I was like, what the heck is a frenemy? And they were like, well, that's another name for a hater. So why are you concerning yourself enough to make a word for that? I had to think about that, though. What is the difference between being a believer and being a friend? Do we have both? Can you be both? And can this be a thing that we can see as a truth? So we can add new words to that, like believe friend or friend believer or something. I mean, if we're making up words, we need to make up words that help us, that bind us, that make us stronger people. I don't know if I did that well, but the idea is if we're going to make up something, let's make it to benefit us. So the question is, can you be a believer? Or do you just stay a friend? Can you be a friend that is a believer? Can you be a believer that's just a friend? And is there a mucking, a meshing, a conjoining of that twinning? And do you need that conjoining of twinning? Now, of course, I did this in the Holocaust, so I can't do it here. I was given 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different scenarios, and I just asked out loud, what is it? Is it a believer or a friend? Is it a definition of a believer or a friend? And I'm going to do it here, and I'm just going to have to explain some of the answers that we had. Okay? Believer or friend? Someone that is a daily reminder of the deen. Now, some said believer, some said friend. Okay? Let's go through them first and then come back to them. The next one is offers internal support. Is that a believer or a friend? Villager, someone that learns and is able to be taught with you. A villager, as you know, if you're African-American, you know what the word villager means. If they are a villager, one that learns and can be taught by you. Is that a believer or a friend? And the last one, has trust, integrity, and has your back. Is that a believer or a friend? Now, before we go into the answers or what it is that we said, I got to put this out there. there is a right and wrong answer in both answers. So all of them can be believers. All of them can be friends. But why did we say that each, why did we differentiate each of these as believer and friend? We're going to break this down just a little bit. Nothing big, nothing, you know, we don't need our Mensa hats on for this. But we're going to break it down as it relates to what it is that we do every day. How do we perceive it? For example, if I gave you the word divorce, the first thing you would think about is marriage. As soon as I said divorce, you would think, oh, what is she talking about? Is she getting married? Did she get divorced? Divorce just means separate. So you can divorce yourself from the dunya. You can divorce yourself from fitna. You can divorce yourself from being with the non-believers in their habits and ways. And that's because we were once married to that comfort. So do you see how we're going to separate the words? Do you see? I hope you're following it. So let's go back to the beginning. Believers are friends. Daily reminders of the deen. Believers are friends. Now, of course, most of the sisters said that's automatic believers. Why? Because we use the word daily reminders of the deen as it relates to believers. We use that. We say that we are supposed to be reminders of each other. But can your friend do that? One of the sisters had a story. She said, actually, when she was slipping on her deen, she had a coworker that kind of reminded her, oh, aren't you supposed to be fasting this Ramadan? Aren't you supposed to be praying and reading the Juz, Wizr, Quran? Now, that was her friend. She wasn't of the belief. That was her friend. Her friend was the one that kind of kept her on course. Why? Because she had newly divorced. She had came into Islam because of a man. And because she was divorced from the man, she felt like she didn't have to do anything about Islam. But the sister, the friend, saw her as someone that was a Muslim. She saw the Islam in her. She saw the reverence in her. She saw that if nothing else, girl, you were doing good when you were in Islam, when you were following the teachings, when you were praying. Your temper was different. Your mindset was different. You are a totally different person. And, you know, if you're going to be my friend, you can't lose that because I'm trying to remember that and gain that. And your friend can actually become a believer because of those daily reminders, especially if they're paying attention. So to answer the question, can a believer and a friend be someone that gives you daily reminders of the deen? Yes. And we need to be conscious of that. We need to be conscious of that because we're so busy categorizing people that don't wear hijab or wear too much makeup or has long fake fingernails as, oh, she's just fashionable in this thing. No. She's your teacher. Because if nothing else, if you don't agree, she's teaching you what not to do. She's teaching you and being the catalyst to keep you humble, to keep you in the deen of knowing that whatever it is that she's doing is not becoming of you. So, okay, that means that at least that is something you're not going to do. But to judge her means that you've taken over Allah's will and job. And that's where you're wrong. Even though you see that in your sister and you see she's not supposed to be wearing all that acrylics on her finger, or you see that she's not supposed to be wearing 5 pounds of makeup on her face, that doesn't mean you stand back and judge her and talk about her. If you're tapping her on the shoulder and reminding her, you are a believer. You're also her friend. Because how do you know that you're not the first person to tell her that? Maybe because nobody else was saying it, that silence was accepted. And because we're getting ready to come into Ramadan, we got to develop different habits and new habits and better traits and talent into being reminders without feeling like that you're overstepping and you're trying to be Polly Pureheart. No. Allah says we're reminders of each other because this is what we're supposed to do, not be comfortable and just trying to let things go. Oh, she know better. I ain't going to say nothing. Okay, on the day of Yama Kiyama, when Allah has the final say, how are you going to come up with that? You're going to be moot and muted in your mouth so you can't explain it. And your body is going to speak on that. Your actions and your deeds are going to speak on that. So how are you going to answer that question that Allah has for you? Next, can friends or believers give internal support? Can friends or believer give internal support? Well, most of them said believers on this one because it was all Muslims sitting in the room. And they all said that because they want to believe that in the back of their mind, and this is what they actually revealed in their honesty, that they believe only believers will be that internal support. They believe that only believers will be the one that is going to be there when they divorce, when they have an Islamic divorce. Because only believers understand what they're going through as a believer. Friends may understand, they may be, you know, trying to duck and dodge being a Muslim because they're seeing it and they can pretty much quote Quran just as reciteful as you can. But they just don't want to cross over to the other side. They don't want to come full circle. So some of them may understand, but they're not believers, so you really can't lean on them. So when we say internal support, yes, friends can give that. They can be a shoulder to cry on if your mom dies, or they can, if you lose a job, they can actually take you in because you can't afford your apartment. But who is going to give you that internal support? If it's not this book I have in front of me called the Quran, then you would want to believe that a believer would be the best source to remedy that. So what does that mean? That means that the trust and the integrity, which is what we're going to talk about last, has to come into the mindset of the believer. So you, sister, have to gain that. Checking on a sister every 3 days, making sure she's okay. Now we have modern technology. There's no excuse for not checking in on your sisters. I'll say that again. There's no excuse for not checking on your sisters. Even if you send a text message, even if you copy and paste a text message every day to your sisters, copy and paste, assalamu alaikum, I pray your day is well. Copy and paste that every single day. Why? Because she's going to remember that. She's going to remember that text. She's going to remember that you kept up with her. She's going to remember that you kept vigilance with her when it comes time for her to be in her low point. And when she does that, she's going to come to you for that internal support because you were the one that kept vigilant for her. That is where the internal support comes from. Can a friend do that? Yeah. I'm not knocking it if they do. Sometimes when you can't find a believer, a friend is all you got. But what you have to understand is that your friends, those that you call friends, those that have been friends, I hear sisters all the time, girl, we've been friends since high school. Okay, but that was then, this is now. Why is it that you need to hold on to? Because she's good people. Okay, she's good people. How? Well, she helps me to do this and she helps me to do that. You can't find that in a Muslim. You can't find that in a sister that's actually in the deen and can help you and bring you to that rug on during prayer. And I'm not saying discount that woman, but like I always say, how many people can remember the names of the people that was in third grade or second grade? Not that you lost interest in them. It's just that Allah didn't mean them to be viable in your life any longer. Doesn't mean that they're not important. Doesn't mean if you run across them in the street that you can't say hello. Hey, how you doing? Let's catch up. That doesn't mean you've got to hold on to that like you should, the internal support that comes from a believer. And in this month of Ramadan, we have to be so careful with who we align ourselves with. Because remember, the shaitan is locked up. So anything we do, it ain't going to be coming from the shaitan. Oh, he tempted me. Oh, he whispered to me. No. That's proving who you are. And when those whispers come, it's because you're talking to yourself. And you saying things to yourself to convince you, as they call it, liquid courage. You're trying to give yourself something to give you courage enough to do it. And that's not going to fly in Ramadan. And when you do it to yourself, you're going to do it to others. So you cannot be my friend in that. You cannot be my friend in that. Now let's talk about believers as friends, as villagers. Now this is delicious because this is something I can sink my teeth into. And I'm a foodie, so as you notice, everything is delicious and yummy and mouth-watering because I'm a foodie. And yeah. So villagers as friends or believers. Well, I was raised by the village. I had quite a few moms, quite a few grandmoms, quite a few elders, quite a few dads. I got a dad that I was born to, a dad that brought me into the deen, and a dad that kind of molded me into the woman that I needed to be once I got there. And those are two different men because the one that brought me into the deen returned to Allah. So the next brother that came along became my mahram for a while in theory. Of course, he couldn't be, but he became my mahram for a while because his daughter and I were good friends when we came into the deen. I kind of pulled her coattail on a lot of times because there were certain things I didn't know and she was the one that brought it up. But in order for you to teach, you have to learn. So the villagers, as teacher and student with you, is a prime support. So that means, sisters, you got to let your ego down. And I can speak on this because I suffered with that demon for years, and it was never locked up. I don't care if it was rummed up. It was a demon that stuck with me for years, that ego, that thing that says, I got this. That thing that says, nah, I'm good. Nah, you stay on over there. I'm going to be over here. If I learn it, I'm going to learn it on my own. And most of the time, it was the hard way. When that sister was willing to teach me. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. You know, that thing is a sin now. Our pride gets in the way. And when our pride gets in the way, it allows us to see things that are not there, but it's our belief in our reality. In the medical, we call that paranoia, and we call that schizophrenia. And we can have Islamic schizophrenia. Not to delineate anybody with the disease, but it is real in Islam as it is in your mental faculties. When you have this, you need the villagers to pull you up. Not to pull you up to condemn, but to pull you up because there are things in your life that clearly you're not handling well. I had to have Mother Sabri come to me and tell me, Amina, you full of SHIT. She told me that to my face, and I couldn't do anything but start crying. Why? Because she was right. At the time, I was deepest in my ego. I thought my leadership meant that I was the SHIT, and she was telling me I was just full of it. I was 19 years old. I was in the military, and I was in an officer candidate school. So that means I was becoming a leader in the military, and I was 19. That's too young to give that much responsibility to. I had people that had been in the military as long as I was alive, and I was now in command of them. So how do you think my ego handled that? It took villagers that saw who I was and the potential that I had to bring me into the balance that I needed. And then Islam just humbled me all the way down. Now it was like, Sister Mina, you truly ain't nothing in the grand scheme of the methodology of Islam, because Islam don't need you. Allah don't need your help. That's why he don't have no partners and don't have nobody associated with him, because he don't need you. So you getting in here talking about, oh, I'm Muslim, and you trying to show this, and you trying to be about this, and you, no. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And when you're coming into Ramadan, you really need to do that, because Ramadan is a time you need to wash all this away. Why do you think Allah says that you're not to eat? Because you're not even supposed to feed yourself any of your creature comforts. The creature comforts ain't got nothing to do with what's on your plate. It's got to do with what you feed your mind. And the villagers, those that have been here and done that, those that care about you, those that love you, will pull you up. You remember back in the military, if you've been in the military, you remember your drill sergeant used to pick on. I remember that. Because my name was shouted more often than not, and they kept, oh my God, they kept saying, but they kept calling on me. They kept calling on me. Belle, get yourself together. Belle, what are you doing? Belle, why? And I used to think they were picking on you. No, they saw potential. And the ones that pick on you the most see the most in you, and they want you to be your best. I tell this to my kids. And now that they have children, they're seeing what I mean. When you keep nitpicking on little things, it's because you see those little things are going to become bigger things later on, and you want to nip it in the butt now. Those villagers are the ones that are going to come around you, and they're going to nitpick at you. They're going to nip at you. That's what I used to think the elders used to do. I used to think that they had, like, they were the first big brother before big brother was big brother, because they would watch everything I did. And being an only child, I was used to having the spotlight on me. But gee, me netties, can I breathe? No. You can't breathe because you're breathing the wrong air. That's what they used to tell me. They were like, no. I'm not letting you breathe, because if I let you breathe, that means I don't care. And I cannot tell you that in words. But back then, those elders were my friends, because they weren't necessarily related to me, but I saw them as friends. Little did I know that half of them said, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. But that wasn't important. That wasn't important for them to get across to me, the deen of al-Islam. But they taught me what a Muslim was before I even knew what Islam was about. So to answer that question, yes, villagers can teach you and be taught with you. And it's a greater resonance when we as villagers teach and learn with each other. Lean on your own understanding of what your mission is as a teacher and as a student. Because once you do that, you will always be infectious with this thing of knowledge that you really need and the thing that we have most to gain from each other. I think that's the greater piece that we are looking for and looking to. And I think this is the thing that we need to embellish the most within each other. If you're gonna orate something and you're gonna be about something, let's do that. And inshallah, we'll be a greater faction toward each other. We got to pause for our, I guess, our last PSA break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about trust and integrity and how that relates to being a believer and a friend. And is there really a difference? Inshallah. You're listening to the Women here on AM 360. We're going to pause for a PSA break. And when we come back, we're going to finish on this topic about fitna and friends. Where's the beef? Here on AM 360. Inshallah.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM 360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at cwsc.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad, executive producer of Study Al-Islam, here to announce that the Ramadan 2020 series is projected to start the morning of Friday, April 24, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will continue our study on building a model community, and the talk will focus on the Medina story. The good news, you can listen by joining am360.org or 701-719-4197. Please purchase your Muslim journal for a complete schedule of the speakers. May this Ramadan be our best effort and outcome. Inshallah, your sister and friend, Fitra.
Assalamu alaikum, and we're back. You're listening to the Birth of Women here on AM 360. I am Amina Ali, your host, and if you're just joining me, we are finishing up on the month-long topic of Let's Get Ready for Ramadan, scripting your month-long intention. And tonight's topic is fitna, a friend. Where's the beef? We have been talking about friendships, the believers, the unbelievers. And then we are finishing now on believers as friends. And the last one we're going to be talking about is trust and integrity. Trust and integrity. Can believers or friends give you trust and integrity? Now, this one always grapples with me because I want to believe as a human, as Amina, as the person with friends outside of the deen, I want to believe that, yeah, both of them can. But this one actually taught me how to put believers and friends in their place. And one of the reasons why I use it last is because it helps to mold what it is that we're going to do for this Ramadan, how we're going to reframe the title believers and friends. Now, if you have friends that are believers, alhamdulillah, keep them right where they are, keep them flowing, keep them going. But if you have those that are friends that are not in the deen that you're just holding on to, I want you to ask yourself three questions. Three questions that are going to define whether you should continue, whether you should hold on to them, or whether you should just introduce them to the deen and let them know that they need to just stop playing. Ask them three questions. One question is, and there's no particular order, that's why I say one question. One question is, can I build with you? Can I build with you? That means, can I go to Hajj with you? Can I make money with you? Can I start a business with you? Can I build with you? So that means you have to understand how they do business. Do they do it with riba? Do they do it with usury? do they have a tendency to, you know, do things that may not be halal in making money? Can I build with you? The second question is, am I able to have my children with you? Could I leave my children with you? If something happens, can my children live with you and you raise them in accordance to what I would want them to be about? Could I do that? So can I build with you? Can I leave my children with you? And then the third thing is, can I trust you to make sure that what I need at the end of life will be respected? Now, why am I asking these questions? It'll be clear in a minute, but I need you to hear the questions. Building, children, end of life. Why did I use those three? Because while we're here as Muslims, we have to begin to network with each other. It's the biggest disappointment that I hear from sisters is that, you know, I open a business, but I can't rely on Muslim money because they won't support us. We got to stop that. We got to use this Ramadan to stop that. Because that just broke my little heart when that sister said that. She said, you know, sister, we open up a business, ain't no Muslim sister going to be supporting us. They talk about, yeah, they going to come, but they need to hook up when they get there. They're not going to support us in true value. Nah, we got to stop that. We got to stop saying that. We got to stop believing that because we got to stop doing that. Give that sister her value and her worth. So if we're saying that, can that person build with you? So some people say, yeah, well, I'm going to build with the Kaffirs. Because they can make money, but is all money good money? Can you bring the reasoning of that money to your Lord? Could you explain that in every detail? Because you know every detail of your business. So if you bring a partner that's non-Muslim, could you bring their habits and abilities in there with you? If you died in that state, could you testify to your Lord as to why you did that? Build it. Leaving your children, that's self-explanatory. If you're not praying five times a day and you're not doing what you need to do as a Muslim, I don't see how I'm going to leave my kids with you. Now, I may have that as a temporary guardian until somebody from the community will come get them, but I don't see how you're going to raise my children if you're not raising them in the way that I'm doing. But then you should ask, if your children can't be around them, why are you? If your children can't learn from them and grow from them, as we talked about as villagers, why are you around them? Because children learn what they live, and they learn 90% of what you do and 10% of what you say. Lastly, if you are building with somebody, if you are coming into the understanding of raising your children with them, then end of life must come in and make a precedent. End of life, please forgive my alarm. I can't get up and turn it. That's the alarm telling me I got 10 minutes before Isha. But the understanding is, if something happens to me, are you going to make sure my rights are respected? Are you going to funeralize me? Or are you going to make sure my janazah prayers are offered? Well, excuse me, people are able to pray behind me in janazah prayers. Are you going to make sure that if I am dying, that you allow me to return to my Lord and make sure that there is no medical intervention that's going to stop the will of Allah? Are you going to make sure that my family is notified and that those that can help me to get to that janazah rather than that funeral is going to be notified and money provided if I don't have any money? Because if you're not doing that, then what you're saying is, you don't care what's going to happen to you at the end, and whatever your friend decides is going to be good enough for you. So then why are you staying in his deen? Why are you staying and doing all this stuff if at the end it means absolutely nothing? You got to ask these questions, sis. And you got to ask these questions to those people that you call friend, because if not, Allah going to have beef with you. Remember, the title of this topic is Where's the Beef? The beef is in your decisions and the decision-making that you make with your quote-unquote friend. We holding on to them because they safe, because they've been around us. But did you give your sister a chance? Did you really get into your sister like you got into your friend from high school? Or are you just holding on to the fact that we done known each other and we complacent with each other, that we just going to hold on to each other? Mm-mm. Allah says that's a sin for a reason. There ain't no growth in complacency. There's no real reason for you to be a better person if you're just holding on to what's comfortable. And Allah says that is a sin. You supposed to fear him. How you complacent in the dunya? How are you getting comfortable with the dunya? How are you complacent with things in the dunya? If you're supposed to fear him, you're supposed to fear what he's thinking, what he's doing, what he's having for. Even though it's already scripted and planned, you're still supposed to be fearing the reward or the punishment of what he's going to give you, not what your girlfriend's doing. We have to really iron out some of the things that we are really saying and doing to each other. And we have to iron it out because it's going to be the thing that calls us to either doing wrong or not being our best in what we're doing right. And that's going to hurt us even more because Allah is going to see what it is that we do. And he's also going to reward us based on our intention. I'm going to read something to you. And it was something that I sent today, welcoming in Ramadan for those that may do it beforehand. Before Friday, those that want to celebrate it in the next few hours, or those that want to bring it in on Friday. But I want to read it, and I pray this will be my dua for all of us for this coming Ramadan. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to be the first to beg forgiveness of you before Ramadan arrives. I apologize for any pain that I may have caused you in this year. I apologize if you cried one day because of me. I apologize if I hurt you knowingly or unknowingly. I am asking for your complete forgiveness. If you've heard anything about me that was unbecoming, that was true. I equally apologize for anyone that came with ills of my name and gossiped things that were wrong. So I would like to offer the same blessings as a Muslim and a firm believer that forgiveness is the best way to better any relationship. Likewise, I forgive you. If there's anything that you did to me knowingly or unknowingly, it is as if it is wiped clean and never occurred, and it is as distant from me as the east is from the west. Amen. I offer that dua to you, and I offer that dua for anyone within the sound of my voice. And I pray that if there's anything that I said tonight that is ill-fated, hurtful, or harmful, I ask for that same complete forgiveness, knowing that it was from me, and it was because of me, and I ask that you reflect a reminder on me in forgiveness. However, if there's anything that brought you closer to Allah, improved your iman, your aqidah, your taqwa, and your ihsan, I pray that you give all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the author and the creator of that reminder from me. Ameen. Sisters, I thank you so very much for this time. I can't tell you how happy I am to be going into this next side of Islam and this beautiful month of Ramadan. I'd like to close off with the greatest of understanding as to what it is that we are to do as Muslims and what it is that we are called to do as greater believers in this time. I'm going to play the last PSA, which is the reminders of the Ramadan series here on AM 360. And I'm going to close out saying to you, I pray you peace and the greatest of Ramadans to be had in Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ramadan is here.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad, executive producer of Study Al Islam, here to announce that the Ramadan 2020 series is projected to start the morning of Friday, April 24th, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will continue our study on building a model community, and the talk will focus on the Medina Surah. The good news, you can listen by joining am360.org or 701-719-4197. Please purchase your Muslim journal for a complete schedule of the speakers. May this Ramadan be our best effort and outcome. Insha'Allah, your sister and friend, Fitra.